that we're able to get that portion of the Scripture. I believe all Scripture, hallelujah, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to talk a little bit about those works this morning, but praise the Lord. Would you stand with me? Turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 3. I want to read a few verses out of there. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 3. Praise the Lord. We'll read some verses out of there, probably beginning in verse 9. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
And then we're going to get some New Testament word too out of Luke chapter 24. But let's go to 2 Kings 3. We're going to begin reading in verse 9. So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said, Is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, The word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. And the king of Israel said unto him, Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, Thus saith the Lord, Make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, Ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink both ye and your cattle and your beast. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward, and stood in the border. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. Whoo! Hallelujah! There's some blood, glorious blood stories. Hallelujah, even there. In the Old Testament. Praise God. How many of you are thankful for the blood of Jesus this morning? Oh, we're going to talk about the blood this morning. Luke chapter 24, are you there with me? Let's get some New Testament bread to go along with that Old Testament bread. We're going to put them together. Hallelujah, for all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Are you there? Luke 24, say amen.
Amen.
Verse 45, Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Oh, hallelujah. Do we need Jesus with us this morning so He might open our understanding? Hallelujah. So that we could understand the Scriptures better, more. Hallelujah. Get more height, depth, length, and breadth of the Word of God. And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Can we say amen together? Woo, lift your hands with me. We're going to pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can feast upon your body and upon your blood, showing, O God, that we have found life in you. And Lord, as we continue to feast on that life-giving blood and upon your broken body, broken for us that we might be made whole. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that the seeds of truth from your eternal word, oh God, would find its way, oh Lord, down into the depths of the fallow ground, oh God, that has been plowed by the Spirit. Oh Lord, and may it bring forth fruit upward and root downward for the glory of God and for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give you the praise and the glory. And everybody shouted amen.
Amen.
Come on, shout amen with me.
Amen.
Woo! Give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Come on, do that one more time. You can do it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I want to preach to you for a little while this morning. You may be seated. I want to preach to you a little while this morning about I'm digging a ditch to glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody want to join in with me? Let's dig a ditch all the way to glory. Hallelujah. All right. Now, you know about digging ditches. You know, it's funny. I found it very interesting that when you talk to people about their different jobs or different types of employment that they may have, there may be some. Did you know there's some jobs that are a lot more menial and are a lot more labor intensive than others? Amen. And it's amazing to me when you talk to somebody about what they do, they'll inevitably come up with, well, it's better than digging ditches. Amen. Hallelujah. And even though we recognize in the natural that digging ditches is a menial and labor intensive job, it probably finds itself down on the lower end of menial tasks and physical labor. It takes a lot of energy, takes a lot of muscle, takes a lot of strong back, amen, to use a shovel and dig a ditch, amen. Oh, but recognize, church, that in the natural, we may not have to dig any ditches, but I want to remind you this morning that in the spiritual realm, you're going to have to get your shovel out and you're going to have to dig some ditches if you're hoping to get to glory. Somebody say hallelujah.
Yeah.
Church, we got to recognize that there are some things that we must do by faith. There are things that were given to us by gift. Hallelujah. How many of you recognize that you came to Jesus Christ and His salvation is given to you as a gift of God? Praise God. Hallelujah. If you go with me to the book of Ephesians, we're going to talk about those verses right now. Hallelujah. For by grace, this is Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hallelujah. How many know you're saved by grace this morning? And that it is the gift of God. Hallelujah. But how many of you recognize that when you come to the doorway of Jesus Christ and you are now saved by that precious gift from God, oh, the love of His only begotten dear Son who gave Himself for you while you were yet in your sins. When you come through that doorway of Jesus Christ, the work of Christ is finished, but your work has just begun. Somebody say hallelujah.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you mean? What do you mean, preacher? I'm not saved by works. That's right. You're not saved by works. But hallelujah, when He saved you, He brought you into His kingdom so that you might do good works unto God. Hallelujah. It goes on to say this after the ones I just read to you in verse 8 and 9. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Woo, can somebody shout hallelujah? In other words, church, when you come into the doorway of Jesus Christ by gift, hallelujah, he hands you your cross. And he said, if any man going to follow after me, let him take up his cross and deny himself. And the cross of Calvary this morning is the shovel that you're going to dig your ditch with so you can make it to glory. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad it's not a physical work of digging a ditch, that it's in the spiritual realm that we've got to continue to dig a ditch, amen, so that he could fill it with his glorious blood so that we can have strength and power, overcoming strength and power every day. Oh, somebody said to me one time, said, preacher, I believe that we get the blood of Jesus on us at salvation and that's it. Oh, listen, how many of you believe that Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies? That Jesus was the fulfillment of every Old Testament shadow and type. Hallelujah, would you go with me then to Exodus? Hallelujah, go with me to Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29. God is telling Moses what he expected the Israelites to do. And in chapter 29, verse 37, he says, 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it. It shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar. 2 lambs of the first year, somebody say, day by day continually. Day by day continually. Watch this. 39, the one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at evening. Hallelujah. How many remember the old song? I sing it sometimes. I'll take a little Jesus in the morning. I'll take a little Jesus all through the day. Hallelujah. Church, you need the blood of Jesus when you wake up in the morning. And you need the blood of Jesus in your life when you lay your head down on your pillow at night and you close out your day. Jesus was the fulfillment of all of those sacrifices. And if he fulfilled all of those types and shadows, then there's a picture of Christ. And as the Lamb, he's being offered for you each and every day. Hey, somebody shout hallelujah.
Thank you.
Are you glad for him? Hallelujah. Are you glad for him? Thank you, Lord, that we can feast upon your body. Praise God that we can still drink of your blood. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2 and 4. Hallelujah. We need to look in time. We'll give you a lot of word this morning. But we need to look and tie some of these words together. I really understand. As I go further along in life, as I get older, and the more that I've had experience in pastoring a church, I find myself really, as I read the words from Brother Paul, man, it really begins to sink in. And it really begins to resonate with me. And he says this, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. How many of you want to see the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God? You don't want to see pastors stand up here and tell you about all the things I've accomplished in life. You don't want to have me come up here and tell you all about me. You didn't come to hear about me. You didn't come to hear about what I've done. But you came to hear about Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, and what he has done for you. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now listen to me, church. Flip over into the first chapter of Corinthians, verse 18. It's going to tell you what the power of God is. Woo! How many of you want some more of the power of God this morning? Oh, I said, how many of you want some more of the power of God this morning? Yeah. Listen, here's the power of God. Listen, we can have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. The power of God is the preaching of the cross. The power of God is the blood of Jesus being preached. The power of God is having that precious blood flow again in your life. I need him today more than I needed him the day I got saved. Can somebody say amen? For the preaching of the cross, chapter 1, verse 18, is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Woo, can somebody say hallelujah? Oh, when you preach about the cross, church, we're going to be preaching about the blood. When we talk about the cross, you can't talk about the cross without talking about the blood of Jesus. When you talk about the blood of Jesus, you can't help but mention that it is the covering of the power of God. Hallelujah for the saint. Hallelujah. It is the thing that washes away the sins of the sinner. Oh, the church, it is the covering of our robes. Hallelujah. That will keep us white and washed in the blood of the Lamb and will cause us to be an overcomer, oh, in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank God for the blood. Oh, the covering of the power of God. Hallelujah. And the preaching of the blood, I believe, it always comes with the fire and with the water. You cannot separate the blood from the water, and you cannot separate the blood from the Spirit. Hallelujah. For there are three that bear record in heaven. John 5:7. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth. The Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is. Woo, somebody say this is. This is the witness of God, which He's testified of His Son. What is the witness of the power of God? It's the blood of Jesus that washes away our sin. It is the blood of the Lamb that He redeems us with. It is the blood of the Lamb that gives us overcoming power and victory over sin. The blood of Jesus will cry out for the waters of His name, of His life, of His death, and of His word. Hallelujah. And the blood and the waters will then begin to cry out together for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It will begin to cry out together, for they agree in one. Hallelujah. Oh, just as the Father is not complete without the Son and the Holy Ghost, and just as the Holy Ghost is not complete without the Son and the Father, and so forth and so on, so is the blood not complete without the water and the Spirit. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, is there power in the blood? Yes. But the blood is crying out for the waters of His life, of His death, of His name, and of His word. And they together begin to cry out for the endowment of power from on high of the Holy Ghost and fire. Yeah. Hallelujah. The disciples, as I read to you in Luke, the disciples, the Bible says, oh, they went with joy after they saw Jesus go up into the heaven. Hallelujah. And He said, I want you to go and tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Oh, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that something began to happen to them. Now, they hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost yet. They had not been endued with power from on high yet. But church, do you recognize that suddenly they had power to get in one mind, Sister Mary? One mind and one accord. Hallelujah. Oh, they began to focus. How are we going to focus, church? Listen, without any church focusing on and seeking the endowment of power from on high, there's going to be division. Are you hearing me, church? Without the focus of the Spirit of God, there's going to be division within the house of God. Are you hearing me, church? It is when we focus on God and focus on the Spirit of God, and we let the blood and the water cry out in our lives so that we might be endued with power from on high. Church, that's a church without schisms. That is a church without division. That is a church that will be one mind and one accord. And that is a church that will do great things for God in the last days that we're living in. Can somebody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Before that day, before they begin to focus on seeking God, before they begin to focus on being endued with power from on high, they were filled with simple thoughts. They did not have the focus of the Spirit. In church, if we stop focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ, if we focus on things of the earth and stop being focusing on the things that ought to be covered, to be clothed, to be surrounded by that blood, to be surrounded by the water, to be surrounded by the fire, church, we're going to get ourselves into trouble. We're going to find ourselves like the five foolish virgins. Hallelujah, had no oil in their lamps. And when the cry went forth, behold, the bridegroom cometh. You're going to wake up from an earthly
himself. Oh, get your all in your lamp. Get filled and endued with power from on high. Get covered again in the blood. Be washed in the waters of his word. And let the fire from heaven fall on you. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah. If we stop focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ and stop focusing on the blood, the water, and the fire, and you're going to try to do things your way. Schisms will break out and division will enter in. And instead of looking unto Jesus, believers start looking to one another. Woo, somebody say hallelujah.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, church, I don't want you looking to me. I want you looking to Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah.
Yeah.
Woo, glory to God. I said, I want you looking to Jesus, not unto me. I don't want you looking to each other. I want you to look unto Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. And if you're looking to him, you're going to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset you, so you might run with patience the race that is set before you. Woo, hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Wasn't the infilling of the Holy Ghost that brought the disciples to that place of one mind and one accord. You hear me, church? They were in one mind and one accord before the Holy Ghost fell. I'm going to ask you again, what brought them there? It was the blood of Jesus in their life. Hallelujah. That brought them together in one mind and in one accord. Hallelujah. I've seen some spirit-filled churches are about divided. Hallelujah. Listen, why? Because they forgot where they came from. They forgot what purchased their soul. They forgot what covered them. Church, we can have all the gifts that the Bible mentions and fall in love with the gifts, and you'll fall out of love with the giver of the gifts. Need to fall in love with Jesus and his precious, glorious blood all again. Hallelujah. Oh, that's what's going to redeem you. That's what's going to save you. Hallelujah. Praise God for the promise of the Father. Praise God for the endowment of power from on high. Oh, but church, before we can even really get to that place, we're going to have to desire all the blood of Jesus to flow again in our lives. Not just at the moment of salvation. Hallelujah. But every day. Hallelujah. Jesus showed that type in that Old Testament type and shadow that Jesus is there for you and me, that his blood might flow continually as that precious Lamb of God flowing in our life. Praise God, washing away all of our sins. Can somebody say hallelujah?
Yeah.
Oh, listen, if the expectation of the promise and focusing again upon the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, didn't Jesus start that conversation in Luke that I read to you? He said that it behooved God that I should suffer and on the third day rise again from the dead. He was focusing with them about the cross of Calvary. He was focusing with them about the power of God, hallelujah, which was the preaching of the cross. And even before Jesus left, he was preaching the cross to his disciples so that they wouldn't miss the message when they went to a lost world and began to preach repentance and remission of sins, that somewhere in the message would be the cross of Calvary, and somewhere in the message would be the blood of Jesus that washes away every sin stain. Saints to the uttermost, that reaches down to the lowest valley and flows to the highest mountain. Can somebody shout hallelujah?
Yeah.
Glory to God. If the expectation of that promise could set their soul on fire, well, then imagine what the Holy Ghost in fire desires to do with your unfinished vessel. Woo, glory to God. If just the expectation, Brother Farron, of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost got him in one mind and one accord, how much more do you think being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire? Oh, how much does the Spirit desire to lead us and guide us into all truth so that all the dross in our life would be pushed aside, all the things that don't belong in our life, that we allow the Spirit to lead us. For they who are led by the Spirit of God, they shall be called the sons of God. God. Oh, hallelujah. How many want to be called a son of God this morning? Hallelujah. Oh, the expectation of the promise set their soul on fire. Caused them, the Bible says, to go to Jerusalem. And they were daily found in the temple, praising God and with great joy. Begin to get together with one mind and one accord. Oh, they were daily and continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. And I know, the Bible didn't tell us, but I just can see in my mind's eye, there's the temple. And just next door, there was this room, with this house with an upper room. And hallelujah, on that upper room, on that rooftop that morning, hallelujah, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, we know that the Bible says that all the proselytes of the Jewish religion were around there, of the then known world. Hallelujah. But we also know that there was 120 in that upper room, and they began to speak. Hallelujah. With the Spirit of God begin to move upon them. I believe next door they looked at each other and said, what in the world's all that ruckus going on? Over that church over there at the corner of Titus and McKinney and Mahia. Now wait a minute. We've been established and been here since 1872. And we hadn't seen no such thing ever happen. Oh God, I pray the Spirit of God would fall again on this church and on the inhabitants. All the people passing by would see flames of fire on your head and hear the Spirit of God giving you utterance.
Yes, come on.
You see, religiosity and churchianity begin to scoff and make up excuses and explanations. The reason why we don't do that around here, brother, is are you guys drunk? You see, religiosity and churchianity go always trying to make an excuse for why you're not seeking and hungering after God. Oh, listen, how is it that you can come to the cross of Calvary and get covered in that life-giving, precious flow of the blood of Jesus, and you lose that excitement, and you lose that love, and you lose that desire of going onward and upward in Jesus, that your soul has gone cold? Oh, get on fire again for God.
How am I going to get there, Pastor? You're going to go back to the cross of Calvary. You're going to get covered again in that precious, righteous, holy blood. Woo, glory. Oh, I get irritated when those tell me, well, Pastor, I got saved when I was six. I'll say, really? Are you saved today? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? If He called your soul away today, would you be washed in the blood? He's not going to look back at what you did when you were six. He's going to look back at right where you are when He called you home. And you're going to be covered or you won't be. You're going to be walking by His side or you won't be. You're going to be cold or you're going to be hot. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. You're going to be saved or you're going to be lost. There's no purgatory you're going to slide into until you get your little oil filled back up and then He lets you back in. Church, there ain't no such thing. There's not a third place. Hallelujah. There's sheep and there's goats and there's no in between. There's heaven and there's hell and there's no in between. There's the blood bought, the blood washed, and the victorious who are living and walking daily and covered in the blood of Jesus. And there's those who's grown cold and there are children of God who disobeyed the gospel and disobeyed the word of God. And the judgments of God will fall upon the children of disobedience.
Oh, you guys must be drunk. That's the only thing we can explain with it. Hallelujah. You see, even those who were in that upper room that day, they used to talk trash like that too. They just forgotten. Hallelujah. But when you get into the presence of God, something begins to happen to your old tongue. Hallelujah. Oh, I told you that the cross of Calvary is going to be the shovel that you use to dig your ditch to get to glory. Hallelujah. Oh, what are you talking about? I'm a child of the King. I had somebody tell me one time, I'm blessed and highly favored of God. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood flows in my veins. Oh, listen, Jesus didn't even do that, did He? Oh, Jesus, the Bible said, He made Himself of no reputation, and in the form of a servant, in the fashion
fashion of a man. He humbled himself. Oh God, help us to humble ourselves and become like Jesus and make ourselves of no reputation.
I said, yeah, Daniel was highly favored and blessed of the Lord too. He found himself in a lion's den. Are you ready for the lion's den? The children, hallelujah, of Israel, who were with Daniel, they were blessed and highly favored of the Lord. They got thrown into the fiery furnace. Are you ready to go into a fiery furnace for Jesus? If you're not, you better hush up that blessed and highly favored nonsense. Are you hearing me, church? Oh, they had to be drunk. They forgot Jesus. Not too much earlier, who said, he that believeth on me, as the Scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. You see, before the power of the resurrected Word could open their understanding, remember he prayed for them that their understanding would be open, that they might understand the Scriptures. Before the power of the Word could help them in opening their understanding, before the eyes of their understanding could be enlightened so that they might know the hope of His calling and what riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. Look at what they were saying. Look at the trash talking that they were doing. Hallelujah. Here, listen, poor Doubting Thomas. And we call him Doubting Thomas, Brother Thomas. You know, I don't know why we call him Doubting Thomas. It's probably because the most significant thing that he ever did is he doubted that Jesus was risen from the dead. But he had started long before then doubting. Did you not know this? He began to speak with his mouth, and it was with understanding and words of his flesh. And church, we need to put aside the understanding of our minds and the wisdom of man and get into the Spirit and understand the power and the Spirit and the demonstration of God. It's not what you think. It's not what I think. It's what thus saith the Lord. Look what he was saying. John 11. Lazarus has died, and Thomas says, oh, hey guys, Lazarus died. Let's all go die with him. Well, that's wisdom, isn't it? And then when the Lord gets there, his sister, Lazarus' sister Mary, says to him, but Lord, he stinketh. Amazing. But when you think about these things, oh, and I'm not through. John 14, Jesus said, you know where I am going and you know the way. Thomas says, we don't know where you're going and we don't know the way. You know, we like picking on old brother Thomas, but do you realize he was just being honest? Honesty's good. But church, honesty without the Spirit and the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God, honesty without the blood of the Lamb is not going to get you anywhere. And I recognize in John 21, Thomas said this, the greatest point which he's always judged for. Thomas said, unless I see the prints of the nails and put my finger in the prints and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. We're also like Brother Thomas, aren't we? Sometimes we say, well, if God wants me to have the Holy Ghost, He's going to pour it on me, Brother Peterson. He's going to pour it on me. It's just going to happen. If He wants me to have it, boom, it'll happen, and there it is. And then I'll believe that's what He wants me to have. Amen. What happened? The disciples, you recognize the disciples were also focusing on always who's first. James and John got mama. They got mama power working on their behalf. Oh, Jesus, when you come in your power and in your kingdom, can my two sons sit on your side, one on the left and one on the right? And then even at the Last Supper in Luke chapter 22, the Bible tells us in Luke 22, as Jesus is breaking the bread and says, this is my body. As Jesus is pouring out the wine and says, this is my blood. The Bible says that the disciples were disputing among themselves as who should be the greatest. And the greatest was among them, breaking the bread and pouring the wine. Some possibly saying, well, he's about to go away. And when he leaves, who's going to be in charge? Well, I think it should be me. Every time a major miracle was done, he called me. Oh, hallelujah. And then they get into the crowd of people. And with their minds not yet touched with that understanding that the Lord wanted them to have, they hadn't begun yet to even dig a ditch of faith. They're trying to lift themselves up on a mountaintop. And God is saying, get you a shovel and dig a ditch. And when you get through with that most menial and hard of labor, when you get through with that ditch, you might ought to just lay down in it sometime. Because there's a water that's coming. Hallelujah. Even in a desert of Edom, in a wilderness where there is no water, I will send the water and it will fill your ditches. Glory to God. See, when the woman touched Jesus and they're in a crowd of people, Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" All the disciples could say, "Lord, we're in a crowd of people and you ask who touched you?" Oh, the Lord wasn't talking about the physical touch. The Lord was talking about in the spiritual realm, where somebody had the faith to begin to dig a ditch so that the blood and the power of God could fill that ditch in their life and take care of their need. Jesus said, "Oh, who is it that had faith so that they're willing to dig a ditch and to let my waters of my life, my death, my name and my word flow into their life and give them what they have need of?" Praise God. Well, they don't finish there. Peter, he says, "Lord, I'll go all the way with you. Lord, I'll go to prison with you. Lord, I will go to death with you." And Jesus said, "Oh, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thrice you've denied knowing me. Simon, the devil desires to have you." And church, I want to tell you, the devil desires to have you, to sift you like wheat. But Jesus said, "I prayed for you, that your faith fail you not." Hallelujah. The power of God and the victory of God. Hallelujah. How many of you are grateful for the Holy Ghost and the fire that gives us victory over that last stronghold? You know what that last stronghold is? It's our tongue. It's our tongue. Notice in Mark 16, the Bible says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name." Well, who's going to say the name of Jesus with me?
Jesus!
You just had to use your tongue to say that, didn't you? Isn't that amazing? The tongue that might be, but before you knew Jesus, that might be saying something else other than Jesus, like, "Go Aggies!" Or, you know, something like that. Now that you know Jesus, you're saying, "Jesus! Go Team Jesus!" And that's foremost in your life. Amen. "And these signs shall follow them that believe." First thing that's brought out is you notice they begin to speak differently than they did before they came to Jesus. Before your tongue gets controlled by the Holy Ghost, you're going to trash talk just like the disciples did before they made their way to the upper room. Hallelujah. "They shall speak with new tongues." Somebody say hallelujah.
Yeah.
"They shall take up serpents." That means you got to remove them out of their space. And if you got entrenched serpents, you may have to keep moving them out of their space until they realize that you are determined to follow Jesus and they will never find a permanent home in your life. Can somebody say amen? Listen, "Oh, they shall cast out devils." Church, you know what? The church world's too busy trying to cast devils out of everybody else. They need to first cast it out of themselves. Judgment must begin at the house of God. You need to get the devils and the problems and the imps and issues out of your own life before you try to start casting devils out of someone else. "They shall take up serpents." You better start moving those little evil imps and spirits and things that come against you and the sins that doth so easily beset you. You better start casting those aside as the Spirit and the Scripture tells you you must do. You better be casting those things aside. And when they try to crawl back in like a serpent, you better cast them back out again. When they crawl back in, keep casting them out in the blood and in the name of Jesus until they realize that your life, your vessel is no longer their home. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Why? Because that tongue's different now. And if a poison has to get past into your body, it's got to get past that new tongue. Are you hearing me, church? Woo, turn with me. I'm going to give you some more verses now. Turn with me to the book of James. You're going to find this pretty amazing, I think. Hallelujah. God is so good. I said, God is so good. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. I said, God is so good. Yes. Hallelujah. James 3, 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes, church, the deadly poison we're drinking is coming out of your own old man tongue. Are you hearing me, church? You're talking trash like the disciples did before they ever went to the upper room. You're questioning God. You're asking if God knows what He's doing. I'm here to remind you all things work together. Woo! For the good! For those who love God. Does anybody here love God?
Amen.
Now come on. Does anybody here love God?
Amen.
And are you the called according to His purpose? Then He's going to work it out according to His purpose and will, not your purpose and will. He didn't save you so He could help you meet your little crazy, vile, temporary earthly dreams. He saved you so that you might put your life and your trust in Him, and He could give you eternal things as you trade in your vile earthly things. You see, it's only because of the blood, the water, and the Spirit that has been anointing our tongue, our new tongue, that keeps us from destroying ourselves. The Bible goes on to say in James that the tongue is a fire, it's a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defiles the whole body. It sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. You better watch your tongue. When the enemy tries to get you to use your tongue to speak evil against your brother in Christ, you better put something on that tongue. You better let the Spirit, the blood and the water begin to wash over that tongue again. Oh, somebody said, we don't need the blood every day. I'm here to tell you, you need the blood every day. And the first thing it needs to wash is over your tongue so you know how to speak. You can speak the words of faith and life into somebody's life and not death and destruction.
Amen.
You see, in 2 Kings chapter 3, those three kings came looking for Elisha. It's funny how things, when things start going wrong, battle gets to brewing. Oh, can we hear from God? Amen. Battle gets going in our life. In church, I've seen it time and time again. Man, I've met with so many people in this parking lot of the church building, and they want to talk about God. And man, they just got out of jail. They just got out of prison. They just got out of some circumstance or situation in their life. Man, and they said, oh, I was in there. I began to pray, and I said, oh, God, if you'll just get me out of here, I'll live for you. I'll start going to church. I know of one right down the road. I'm going to start going. Oh, God. God gets them out, and it's not a day. They come to church maybe once, and then they're gone doing their own thing. And I tell them, you better not play with God. You make a vow unto God, you better keep it. I said, you better not play with God. You better get that tongue covered in the blood of Jesus so you don't be speaking foolish words, because you're on the earth and He is in the heaven. The earth is God's footstool, and His throne is far above you.
That's it. Praise God.
He is God in heaven, and you're His creation. On His creation, the earth. You better abide in the Word. 1 John 2 said, but whoso keepeth His Word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hallelujah. How much we've been talking about perfection and the love of God. I mean, you want the perfection of God in your life.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You see, the Bible says that these three kings, They're like the disciples before they got into their one mind and one accord place. Those three kings are kind of like us when we get in a bad situation. We want to hear from God. We ought to be hearing from God every day. We ought to allow the blood of Jesus to cover our minds and our tongues and our hearts. Hallelujah. Our minds being transformed and renewed by the power of the blood of Jesus. And if you think only once does the trick, I'm here to tell you, you need Him every day. And the Scripture backs up what I'm saying. I'm going to give you some more verses just before I close. Oh, but it's funny. Here we are looking at this last day's church that will face what the first day's church went through. Church, you're going to face persecution. You're going to face imprisonment. And some of you sitting here may even face death for the cause of Christ. Are you willing to go all the way with Jesus? Are you going to be like Peter, who with your earthly tongue says, "I'll go all the way with you, Lord"? But when the going gets rough, you deny you ever knew Him. You see, these kings talking trash, going to the man of God, Elisha, trying to get a move of God in their life. And the first things out of their mouth is, "God brought us all together so He couldn't destroy us." The Bible says they had to go 7 days' journey to get to the man of God. Amen. You know what? 7 days journey, that's a journey reaching perfection. And if it took the blood, church, listen to me. Some of this is spiritual common sense. If it took the blood and faith in Jesus and in His blood on day one of your journey when you knelt at the cross, don't you think it'll take the faith in Jesus and the faith in the power of His blood each and every day till you reach day seven of perfection with Him in glory? Yes, it will. Hallelujah. Being confident of this very thing. He who hath begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it in that day. If you're still covered in His blood, if you're still holding to His hand, if you're still walking by His side, don't you come tell me I got saved when I was 6 and I have eternal salvation. Salvation is eternal if you're holding to Jesus. If you walk away from Him, He'll not follow you into sin. You walk away from Him, He'll not follow you into the pig pen of worldliness. You walk away from Him. The Father didn't follow the prodigal son into the pig pen. He didn't follow him into his riotous living. He stayed at home. That's where He's at. You want Him? That's where you got to go. There's a place where the Father is, and there's a place where you can find a hallelujah relationship with the Father again, and it's at the foot of the cross, being covered in the blood of His dear Son. Yeah. Can somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
If you abide in the Word, whoso keepeth the Word in Him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hallelujah. How many of you know you got to abide in Christ Jesus? You can't be warm today and cold tomorrow. You can't be following Him on Sunday and forgetting about Him Monday through Saturday. You got to have the blood of Jesus in your life every day.
Yes, that's it. Got it.
Elisha, I get tickled when I read this story. Hallelujah. Don't y'all just love the little children? Praise God. Some people get real irritated when they hear little kids. I think it's beautiful. It's music to my ears. Hallelujah. Do you know little children today are grown-up saints tomorrow?
Right.
Hallelujah. And it's literally that. I told Michael not too long ago, I said, "Michael, you better enjoy that little boy crawling up in your lap." And he does. He does.
Amen.
I said, "But man, you just better enjoy it." I heard something the other day I never heard in a long time, Brother Roy. I'm in the grocery store and the next aisle over, I hear this little baby voice say, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, pick me up." And I said, "Oh, I'll never hear that again." I remember those days. How many of you remember those days? "Daddy, Daddy, pick me up." Amen. Oh, listen. Children are a blessing of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. But these kings, they come before Elisha and they're trash talking. They say, "God's got us in one place so He can destroy us." And then they say, "We have no more water. We've been gathered here to be delivered into the hand of the enemy." Now, is that your flesh talking? Sure it is. Is that what God has planned for you? Sure it's not. He's not going to let the enemy destroy you. If you want Him more than anything, you desire Him more than anything, He's got the enemy already defeated for you.
That's it.
But you got to be willing to dig a ditch. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Did you know you got to do works when you come into the Lord? You've got to have some works of your salvation. What do you think Jesus meant when he said, "Let your light so shine before the world that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven"? You better be doing works of faith. You better have your spiritual shovel of the cross and your new tongue out digging a ditch so you can lie down in it so the waters of the blood can cover you each and every day. Somebody say hallelujah. Elisha basically said to him, if you read through this, Elisha basically said to him, "You know what? Hush up. I'm tired of hearing you trash talking." He said, "Bring me a minstrel." You know what? I'm going to tell you something, church. When you wake up on a Sunday morning and you say, "Well, I just don't feel good today. No. Let me change it for you. It's more accurate. Well, I just don't feel good today." Amen? I don't feel good. And I'm not going to go to church because I don't want my ugly spirit rubbing off on anybody. Let me tell you something. The principle of God is when you don't feel like it, that's when you need it the most. When you don't feel like it, that's when you ought to make your way down to the house of God and you ought to begin to praise and worship Him. And I promise you, if you make that effort, you will leave here different than when you came.
Amen. Praise God. That's it.
You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Oh, what Elisha said, he said, "Bring me a minstrel. Let's start praising God." And then, you know what? How many believers in today's world, you tell them they got to start doing something for God, they're done. They want God to poof, take care of their problem just like that, and then they're finished. Huh? How many of you? You know what? We need to start praising God and worshiping Him. Hallelujah. You want stuff in your life to get gone, and you want that old tongue to be changed into a new tongue where you're talking things that God would give you through faith? Then you got to start digging a ditch. How many folks say, "I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm going somewhere else. I'm going to go where they scratch my ears and make me feel good about myself. I'm going to go where they don't talk about this blood stuff all the time. I want to go where they tell me I can live like I want to, act like I want to, talk like I want to, and it's okay because Jesus still loves me." I got news for you, church. You better be walking daily by the Savior's side. You better get yourself washed again in His blood. Better start humbling yourself in praise and blessing Him at all times. In all things, give thanks. Don't wait for a good move. Don't wait for a move of God. Prepare a place for the move. Are you hearing me, church? They didn't wait until the water came to start digging a ditch. They dug a ditch to prepare for the water. Church, and you and I are going to prepare our lives for a move of God, and we do it by digging a ditch in our life. Removing the stuff out of our vessels so that we can make room for more of the blood, the water, and the Spirit. So somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. We got to keep digging them ditches, church. You won't hear the wind. You won't see the rain. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. The enemy. How many of you know the enemy of your soul is looking in your life right now? He's looking to see if you've been digging a ditch and making room for more blood. If you haven't been digging no ditch, he's got you. Are you hearing the church? I remember a long time ago, there was this old-fashioned preacher. How many of you? Hallelujah. I just love old-fashioned preachers, and I love old-fashioned preaching. Hey, man, you know why? Because they don't play games. They tell it like it is. And in a revival, one day, he looked across, and it was a church, probably 200 people. He looked across there and pointed at each one of them and said, "I'm here to tell you something, and I'm telling you the truth." He said, "Most of you that's sitting right here this morning under the sound of my voice, you're not going to make it, because when it comes time to do something for God, you're going to wash out." How many of you want to make it all the way? I don't want to wash out. I don't want to get halfway there. I don't want to get some little skirmish in the middle of the field and lose my battle and lose the war because I didn't have faith in God and I wasn't willing to dig a ditch so I could have more blood, more water, and more Spirit in my life.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Oh, preacher, are you here to tell me that I need to have the blood of Jesus in my life? Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Every day? Yes. Oh, hallelujah. I plead the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin. Hey, is there anybody here that can stand up, raise both hands and say, I have no sin in my life? You need the blood. You need the blood. John goes on to tell us, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar and the love of the Father is not in you. Oh, you may not recognize it. He may not have revealed it to you yet, but when He does, you've got to deal with it. And you know how you deal with it? You go back to the cross and you get some more blood on it. That's the only thing that washes away sin. Praise God for the blood. It's not a one-time experience. It's an everyday relationship with Jesus. And the Bible says, when the Israelites, they thought the Israelites, the waters looked like blood, and they thought the Israelites had killed each other off. And they rushed in. But how many of you know that when the enemy begins to rush in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. I want you to know that that standard is the precious blood of Jesus. I want it flowing fresh in my life every day. I want it flowing anew in my life every day. So that when the enemy comes in against me like a flood, I just cry out to Him, Lord, I've been digging my ditch, Lord. I've been digging my ditch, Lord. I've been pushing out and digging all that earth out of my way so I'd have more room for Your blood. And the enemy will be destroyed out of your life and out of my life in the places where he tries to control you. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, church, the enemy cannot withstand the blood. Are you grateful for the blood of Jesus? All right, I'm closing with this. I want to give you some verses. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. How many of you need the precious blood of Jesus today? Hallelujah. He's revealed something in your life and you see it, you know it, and you recognize you're still dealing with it. You need to deal with it. Hey, how are you going to deal with it? The blood of Jesus. Dig a ditch. Get more room in your life for His blood. Ephesians 2:13. But now, everybody say now.
Now.
That's not when you first came to Jesus. That is what? Now. Everybody say now.
Now.
Now. Today. In Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience? Hallelujah. Do I need to even go any further? How many of you have your conscience pricked from time to time by the Spirit?
Amen.
You need the blood on your conscience right then. He can purge your conscience, hallelujah, and purge you from all unrighteousness. Whoo, glory. How many of you know that once you get saved, you are now out of the darkness and you're into the light? When you come to Jesus, weary, worn, and sad, and He washes away your sins and takes them away, and He puts you back in right relationship with the Father, you've left the kingdom of darkness, and you've now entered into the doorway of Christ Jesus, and you're now on the straight and narrow path of life.
Well, what about 1 John then?
For if we walk in the light...
Come on now. Somebody say hallelujah.
For if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His dear Son cleanses us from all unrighteousness.
Thank you.
What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about those who are in the light, those who are saved. And what is it they need? Not only fellowship one with another, but fellowship with the precious Son of God, so He might wash them again and fresh and anew.
How many want to be washed again today? Hallelujah.
Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. How many of you want to enter into the holiest? Praise God. Church, when you enter into the holiest, you don't have to have me do that for you. You don't have to go to some church where there's a little man in a funny looking robe with a bunch of beads in his hand and around his neck sitting behind a little wooden box that you go in there and say, please do something for me. No, you don't need a man to go. You already have a man who went. His name is Jesus and now sits at the right hand of God. For there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You can go to Him. You can boldly go through the throne of grace. But how are you going to get there? What did it just say? By the blood of Jesus. Amen. You know why sometimes your prayers aren't answered? You didn't go through the blood. You didn't get covered again in the blood. Hallelujah. You didn't get covered again in the blood. Well, brother, don't you know that the Israelites put blood on their doorposts to save them from death, hell, and the grave? Yes, but did you know as they began to walk through the wilderness, every day the lamb was offered up in the morning and at night? Because without that blood, they wouldn't have made it through the wilderness. Ooh, somebody say hallelujah.
Yeah.
Okay, Hebrews 10:20. By a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Wherefore Jesus also, Hebrews 13:12. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood. How many of you recognize that your life this morning is a life of sanctification?
Yes.
It is one of continual sanctification. You don't come to Jesus and you're instantly sanctified. You come to Jesus and you begin the journey of sanctification. Amen? You begin to be purified. You begin to be clean. You begin to be set apart. Hallelujah. I brought it up like this before. How many of you remember when you first came to Jesus? Aren't you glad that He didn't show you everything in your life and said, I want you to fix it right now? You couldn't handle it, could you, Brother Ronnie? But He knew what we could handle. And bit by bit, place by place, He began to put that hedge around about us and draw us closer and further away from ourselves, closer and closer to Him, and reveal things in our life that we needed to get rid of and to do different and to change. Praise God. Aren't you glad you've got a wonderful Savior?
Amen.
A heavenly high priest who will never put upon you more than you can bear, but with every temptation will make a way of escape.
Yes.
And the way of escape is His precious blood.
Yes.
For it is the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Aren't you glad He saved you?
Yes.
Aren't you glad He brought you out of darkness and into His marvelous light? Just three more verses I want to share with you, so that you are strong in the Lord in this understanding. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us. That's a continual word. That's not a one-time wash. Washed us from our sins in His own blood. Hallelujah. Washed us from the sin of Adam the first, and continues to wash us in the sins of our flesh that we need to be purified from. Revelation 7:14, and I said unto Him, Sir, Thou knowest. And He said unto me, these are days which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes. See, they had robes. They weren't naked, church. They had robes. Robes of salvation, which came by Jesus, by gift. But by works, they had to wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb and make them white. Church, as we go on through life, and you know this as much as I know this, as we go on through life, we find things that come against us. I call it the devil's evil Velcro. It sticks to our little spiritual garments, our robes of salvation, and we look out sometimes and there's spots, there's wrinkles, and there's blemishes that have attached themselves to us as we walk down this life's journey trying to get to heaven. You need the blood of Jesus daily to wash away those spots, to wash away those wrinkles, and to get rid of those blemishes off of your garments. And what did He say? He said they washed their robes. What robes? The robes of salvation that were given while they were in the earth. While they were in the earth. By gift. Now by works, they began to wash the robes and the blood of Jesus until they were spotless and worthy. Hallelujah. Church, I will be ready. How about you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. One more verse. And they overcame Him. Revelation 12:11. How many of you want to be overcomers?
Yes.
Church, in the times that are coming, you need the blood of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And don't you rely on the blood you got when you were six and got saved. You better have the blood of Jesus in your life today, right now. You better be walking daily by the Savior's side.
Yes.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Glory to God. Would you lift your hands with me? And let's close together in prayer.